Well, after what felt like an absolute eternity, wasn't it nice to hear the return of this in Pats Nation?
Tributed. I'm so proud of the new players, the new coaches. People had all the excuses it couldn't happen, but you all did it. And I'm spoiled now. I'm going to count on a lot more to.
Hey, yeah, we just getting started.
But most importantly, we're giving you this game.
Nah, for sure.
You get a game ball, you get a game ball, you get a game ball. Game balls for everybody. Actually, there was a game ball for Jerod Mayo, and then he gave one to Elliot Wolf. And then later on, Juwan Bentley took the mantle from the great Matthew Slater as the leader of the How Do We Feel? Aw Yeah chant. And I think, Andy, what did he say as we kick off the latest edition of Six Rings and Football Things live on the Fitzy GFY and WEEI socials? And, of course, your number one place for awesome football talk on the Six Rings podcast, be it via Spotify, Apple Pods, the Odyssey app, or wherever you can find awesome football talk. You got Andy Jumbo Hart from the WEEI Afternoon Show, and of course, scheduling his afternoon beverages, your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens at Fitzy GFY. What did Juwan Bentley say? I kind of like the way he handled it. It's like, how do we feel about coming in and putting the clamp on their shiz or what? However he said it, I loved it. But what was the phrasing again?
It was something like that. I'm not sure exactly. But I like that he put his own spin on it as this evolves over the years, the aw yeahs from the Brewskis through the Slaters and everybody. So, you know, and isn't that symbolic of kind of what's going on? Like,
mm-hmm.
The Patriot way continues. It's just a new Patriot way. It's a modern Patriot way. It has roots in the original Patriot way, but it's growing differently.
Just the same way now, like as fans will experience when they come to the home opener this Sunday, if you went to either of the pretend season games back in August, you heard that the walkout music, that what they've decided to do is hold on to Carmina Burana, the classical music that they're in, that they use for their tunnel walk. But then when they come out onto the field, it's not just the good old Crazy Train from Ozzy Osbourne, but rather I think it's Let's Go by Lil Jon, and it has Train sampled in the backdrop. So like that, like that's the backbeat of it. So it's sort of like it reminds you of something that you used to enjoy. We've just put a new spin on it. And that's actually kind of a great segue here as we get into the first leg of this edition of Six Rings. Andy, we gave ourselves time for the rubber tire pellets and the field turf clouds to settle after week one in the NFL. Monday, overreaction Monday, the rookie quarterback stink. This team's going to the Super Bowl. Who saw the Pats winning? This team sucks. We let all those clouds of dust and pellets settle, and now we're calling it Appropriate Reaction Tuesday after week one. Your New England Patriots currently tied for first in the AFC East at 1-0 with the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Williams. The New York Jets just wiped clean with a big old L Monday night. I was surprised. The biggest surprise of that, not just the score, the dominating manner in which the 49ers won the game, but also Jordan Mason, I believe, the backup to Christian McCaffrey, could have run for 300 yards if they just kept feeding him the rock. A dominating performance. But yeah, so we're not going to overreact to anything now. We've given ourselves a little time. Tell me, Andy, now that you've distanced yourself a little bit from that really entertaining surprise dub to some on Sunday, how are you feeling now about your New England Patriots, these new look Pats?
Happy. I mean, happy right now. Like, is there another word than to be happy? Like, joyous? Like, you got to see a football game that I think you should have found entertaining. We talked a little bit about it in the post-game show. The days of at halftime, it's going to be 35-3 are gone. Mm-hmm. And they've been gone for a while, and that's okay. And when you marry what they did up with the fewest passing touchdowns by a mile in years on opening weekend, and
yep,
you know, Bill Belichick talking about the lack of the passing game success pretty much across the board. Mm-hmm. We talked about it, I think, the other day. Or maybe I talked to, I talk in a lot of places, but
it's a lot of football talk. You're doing, yeah, a lot of football talk.
When I watched the montage of touchdowns on the Red Zone channel, it's like, geez, a lot of quarterbacks ran for touchdowns and there weren't as many touchdowns. It's like there was no fluidity. Now, you had some really nice plays and some one-offs and different things, but in a lot of ways, it looked like week one. And I still go back to the one way it didn't look like week one to me in New England was the successful tackling. And that was my biggest takeaway from the WEEI afternoon show yesterday, Patriots Monday, speaking to Jacoby Brissett in studio, which was a hell of a lot of fun. He's a nice guy. Love it.
I thought he had a very nice appearance, and tremendous. He did have something terrific to say. I don't know if I have that particular audio. He had something extremely flattering to say about Jerod Mayo. And I remember correctly the clip.
Yes.
I don't have that one, but I have something else I want to play but it's relevant to this particular topic. Salient, if you will. All right. Fancy football words. It makes sense to play it now, says Dum Dum. I believe Brissett said he himself couldn't believe how well prepared Mayo had the team coming out of the preseason and also for week one. He didn't leave a single, and I think this has been a massive concern for Patriots fans. Like, it's going to be a mess. Penalties galore. This guy doesn't know what he's doing. Keon White also echoed those sentiments in a similar comment that he offered after the game on Sunday.
Who's won the championships at every level, really? You kind of just respect that. And he wouldn't have you do anything that he hasn't done or wouldn't do himself. And so he's really like a player's coach. He's relatable. He communicates with all of them, and he makes you want to, like he said in the interview with DJ, like, you want to run through a brick wall for him. And so, that's something special, I feel like.
Getting a lot of this, I'm not sure, what's the new line? Is it going to be run through a brick wall? Is it make them run the hill? Like, we got a lot of football guy, Hardo, praise going on these days. I think I kind of love it.
Oh, I love it. But the thing I love more than anything is all that is cliche 101 players coach, former player who is a coach. The thing I loved is Jacoby Brissett saying, we were talking about it on the plane. Everything Jerod told us early in the week was how we won the game. Like, he mapped it out. And that is very Belichickian. Very, if you do what I tell you to do on Tuesday and Wednesday, you got a good shot to win on Sunday. And when you do that once and you map it out for them and they begin to believe it more, they don't have to trust the process. Mm-hmm. They ate the fruit of the process on Sunday. And now they go, huh? So probably this week, if he tells us to do something, I'll do it, because so far he's 1-0 in telling us what to do and how to win and going out there to do it. And I don't want to make more of them what it is. I agree with Jerod Mayo on the Greg Hill show. One game. It's one game. 1-16 is still in play. Like, that's just the reality of the season for this
team. We're not being negative. Everyone pipe down or relax, pump the brakes. We're not being the negative Boston media. We're not trolling you saying, like, is it still a mathematical possibility? Yes. Are they going to go 1-16? I would bet a lot of money that they do not.
Probably not.
As a matter of
fact. But he and his team need to prove how they deal with success. Everyone told them for 8 months they suck, they're morons, they can't be Bill Belichick, they don't have a quarterback, they don't have a line. Now it's like, oh, the line's better than we thought. This defense is dominant. They got a number one corner.
Yeah, all right, slow down.
So deal with success. Now prove to me, you can prove people wrong on the road in a tough environment as the biggest underdog. Now prove to me.
And opportunistic, Andy. They were very, like, as you pointed out frequently on the postgame show, the balls bounced their ways. They created their own good fortune by punching balls out, knocking balls away. And everything went their way. Now, if things don't go their way, how will this team handle that adversity?
The Bengals were essentially a tourist with a fanny pack wide open, $20 bills hanging out, a camera loosely on their shoulder walking down the street in Tijuana.
Holding a map, asking people, like, excuse me, can you show me? Oh, yes, please, just for $20, come this way.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, they were the willing victim in this game, but the Patriots took advantage, and I like the potential foundation that it laid for this season. It could all shatter. It could all fall apart. We could be like, yeah, it's a foundation, but the dude who poured it was drunk and it's not close to level. It's really facing downhill. But no, I feel good about it. I don't know how you can not feel good about 1-0, not feel good about answering your critics, whatever. Mm-hmm. Are there things that are overblown? Nothing's more overblown than how well the offensive line played. They played well, but now I'm hearing sort of ridiculousness of how well they played. The reality is,
Layton Robinson is the new Mankins. Vidarian Lowe, they may have found one. Easy.
Jacoby Brissett dropped back for 31 passes, and he was either hit sacked or pressured on 14 of them. So half the time he dropped back, he had to run for his life.
And he got popped a few times. As a matter of fact, I got to say, though, on the notion of Gerard Mayo and how he's doing right now, he's been on a bit of an interview heater recently. Like, I think he's made several good appearances on his Zooms, at the podium at Gillette, and on WEEI as well. Here's a little snippet from Patriots Monday talking about the fortitude and quality play of Jacoby Brissett.
Displayed a lot of things, like, you know, he's a tough guy that it really doesn't matter. And I talk about pulling the nose up on the plane, and he did that a few times, and actually made some plays with his legs, which was which is surprising. He's like probably the slowest black quarterback in the league. No. Look at Stacey.
It'd be tough to find one. Only he can say that. We're not allowed to say it, but it's a great line. Like, and the fact that they feel comfortable enough that they can like sort of jab each other like that, like that's great. Like, now we don't want to get into the okay, but seriously, when is Drake May starting thing? Because I know Wiggy tried to get into that, and I'm not here for that crap right now. However, there was a lot of. Oh yeah. See how much better things got once the cloud of Belichick versus Kraft and everything. Like, any team could use the genius of Bill Belichick, but perhaps maybe new energy and a fresh voice is what this team needed, because there's no denying the positive emotional response that came from all those players. Most notably the Keon Whites, the Jabril Peppers, those guys, and Juwan Bentley as well.
Yeah. And it's game one. It's the honeymoon period. This generally swings that way, you know, especially when you go from a dictator type coach to a more loose, open, player friendly type coach. I mean, we all saw it in a different way when Lawyer Malloy left New England and he was so excited to be in Buffalo, and they're like a family and I love it here and they're so nice. And it's like, okay, like, what's going to happen in the long run? Let's let the dust settle over a long 17 game season and day in and day out and what the results may be. But the one thing that this guaranteed, actually two things it guaranteed. They can't go 0-17.
Okay, that is now officially off the table. Statistically speaking, you can't go 0-17.
And they can't feel the pressure that builds of being in week 3, 4, 5, 6 and not having a win. And I think that could have been crushing. And so if they go 1-4, it's not great. But it's 1-4 is different than 0-5 in terms of pressure and getting that like monkey off your back type feeling that would have built around Gerard Mayo and Alex Van Pelt. And then you add the details in that I think, if we're being honest, they all deserved the game balls they got or should have gotten. Mm-hmm. Like, I think DeMarcus Covington should have had a game ball. I thought he was phenomenal in his defensive coordinator role. Mm-hmm. So game balls for, like, quite honestly, the one guy I'm not sure deserves a game ball, if we're being negative here, and that, you know, that's what I do sometimes.
No, you're allowed to be analytical here, because this is all about, you know, looking at it appropriately with an extra day to consider what is sustainable versus not sustainable. Like, who maybe didn't deserve one?
The person I wouldn't give a game ball to just yet and has not necessarily proven enough positives to me in this very short sampling is Elliott Wolf. Like, the rookies didn't play that well. He still doesn't have a left tackle because he didn't get a left tackle. He decided we could move right tackles to left. Remember when he told us Chukwuemeka Okorafor could play left tackle? You remember that?
He can't.
He can't. You know who decided they can't? The Patriots.
Yes. Scott Peters, Gerard Mayo, Ben McAdoo, whoever they are, Alex Van Pelt. By the way, you know who did deserve a game ball? Alex Van Pelt.
Oh, 100%. Ramondre Stevenson. That's my point. All those guys in new roles, elevated roles, Elliott Wolf to me has the most to prove, because Drake May didn't play. Jalen Polk had one catch. Caden Wallace is a backup. He's not a left tackle.
Side note to that. I would really like to see Polk. Hopefully Baker has a good week of practice and gets back on the field, because they're going to need some playmakers, like just like my boy Javon Baker as well. Less time on Instagram, more time catching balls on the practice field. You know, because I saw Jalen McMillan, the other wide receiver from Washington, caught a touchdown on Sunday. There were a lot of rookie wide receivers. My boy Ladd McConkey, 5 for 40 and a tutty.
Are we going to do that? Are we going to do the Ladd McConkey check-in every effing week?
Yeah, we are probably.
No, we're not.
Sorry. I'm obsessed. I love him.
Okay, well, do start a second podcast like McConkey Watch or something.
Lad Watch.
Whatever.
Lord knows I've got the time. All right.
That was good. That was a good one, Fitzy. I don't say that too often, but that one really struck a nerve with me. I didn't see it coming.
Oh, float out your ass. All right. Here we go. A lot of positive comments today in the chat as we record live, of course, here on the WEEI socials, here on the Six Rings Pod. Well, pal, Dr. Peter Schott in Rhode Island. Special teams and defensive turnovers, big reason for the win. Had the Pats turned the ball over like the Bengals, they probably would have lost. That it's just his good name fundamental.
Really, wait, is his name really Peter Schott?
Yes.
Oh.
Andy.
Because that seems like a description of how a poll ends.
Yes. Okay. Got to talk more about Keon White. What a game. Dude's a beast. Yep. Interesting also, by the way, interesting note, Andy. Keon White just randomly has a 2.5 sack performance, absolutely eats Trent Brown's lunch, leaves him in his two big tracks all over the place on Sunday. Monday, oops, gets a note from the NFL. You've been randomly selected for a performance-enhancing drug test. You don't say.
Well, he looks like an 80s WWF wrestler, so it makes sense. we should probably check this guy.
I'm telling you, he looks like somebody that, like an extra from 300. Like he's
Will he have a dozen sacks?
At this point now, when you open with 2.5 sacks, if you can't get 7.5 more, like double digit sacks has to be on the table. This is a good time to finish up the first leg here. In terms of recalibrating expectations. All right. Forget about like, oh, Pats are going to the playoff. No. 5-12, you may feel more comfortable about saying 5-12 or 6-11 could very well happen on an upswing developmental year. Can Ramondre keep up? Can Keon White get to double digit sacks? And is the Patriots defense as stout as we would like to think?
Keon White, so he's not going to finish with 42.5 sacks. I'm pretty sure about that. The current pace that he's on. I do think you're right. If he stays healthy, he's got to get to double digit sacks. There's going to be opportunities. The team's going to be throwing the ball early on that. He should, because I like what I've seen from him, the matchups inside. What was the rest of the question?
Keon White, can he get to double digit sacks?
Yeah.
Should we, because we were talking about like,
no, he should
come in and replace Matt Judon. Actually, he might be able to come in and do more.
Though. He's not.
I know.
He's not going to replace. The dream would be if you had both, or the dream would be if he were playing double inside with Barmore and you had those two guys playing off each other. Like there's certain dreams that could evolve. But no, I think if he stays healthy, he absolutely should have double digit sacks. He absolutely should be a force for teams to deal with because he's shown the ability to move. You got to remember, this is now a guy that we've seen line up everywhere from zero over the center to stand up outside linebacker and everywhere across the front.
And Brian Baldinger did a nice breakdown talking about on his first sack, he read the offensive protection, moved himself outside so he could use his speed, which is insane to think a man his size thinks about his speed rush game. He goes to the outside. Trent Brown bites. He cuts inside and literally leaves like Trent Brown spinning around as if he were like a character from a Wile E. Coyote cartoon, and then goes in and eats Joe Burrow alive. Like, that's very impressive. It was really impressive stuff week one from a second year player. Yeah, exactly. Delusional Patriots fan. He is built like a circus strongman. The defense will have their struggles at times, but they're better. They're as good so far. But again, a lot of that was, got to be honest, Cincinnati not ready for prime time. Notoriously slow starts. Burrow, Chase has a case of the sads because he hasn't signed his contract as well. Not sustainable. I think there's a lot of room for progress and growth on the offense, but not sustainable. 25 carries a week for Ramondre Stevenson. He shouldn't carry the ball more than 280 times on the season. Going to need someone else to tote the rock or maybe Jacoby to slang it.
Especially, and if you remember in the postgame show, I predicted PFF would have impressive broken tackle numbers for Ramondre Stevenson. And according to their numbers, he had 118 of his 120 yards after contact. So that is not sustainable. I forget the carries, which are crazy too. He can't every week have to make chicken salad. Like, he needs some easy runs where it's just like, by God, you see how big that hole was? He did a backflip on his way through the hole. He needs some of that, but he is great. And, you know, I do love the love that he is getting, starting with the head coach, who keeps telling us how much he's told him, I think you're one of the best backs in the league. You're underrated. And then Jacoby Brissett said that. He said, I wasn't really paying attention to the Patriots when I wasn't here anymore. I wasn't really aware of how good Ramondre Stevenson is, but seeing him up close and personal and the things that he can do, even he's had his eyes opened. If you remember, that was also something that was it. Who? Oh, Ronnie Perkins, I think, said it.
Old Ronnie Perkins out of Oklahoma.
He was
whatever
like,
happened to him? Last we saw him, he threw up on the field during the preseason, and then he got cut, made another roster, and has disappeared into oblivion.
But if you remember, he was at Oklahoma with Ramondre Stevenson, and then they were together here, and he's like, he's much better here. The things he does with his footwork and like his ability to break tackles and move and at his size. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we're picking the breakout players off of week one, it's one game, but there's a nice core of guys to pick from. And that's better than the opposite being like, huh, everybody underachieved. Nope. Ramondre Stevenson looks like he could be a breakout player. Christian Gonzalez absolutely looks like he could be a breakout player. And Keon White absolutely looks like he could be a breakout player. You have three options and other guys can enter the conversation. I hope DeMario Douglas enters the, or Polk, or one of the receivers at least enters the conversation of a breakout player. But to come out of week one and say, you got for a team with, and we all know all those lists, we all went over them in May and June, and they have no top 10 players at every position. They don't have any top this players. They don't have any young players. Well, to come out of week one with three guys that are, you know, within their first 4 years in the NFL, two of them in their second year in the NFL, potential breakout player candidates, I'll take that for a young rebuilding team. I keep comparing it to the Red Sox. I don't know how this season will end for either team, but you left the Red Sox season with Jaren Duran and Rafaela.
No, they're still holding on. They're clinging to some vestige of life.
I don't buy it.
And you know what's killing me is the Nico Cavadas, one of the players they traded for that garbage reliever from the Angels that's done nothing but give up runs or spend time on the IL, hit his third home run last night. Now, granted, that home run also helped the Red Sox because I think it was against the Royals. So that was a positive. But yeah, like
put this guy on the screen. Put the I know thy works. The guy who doesn't put his name next to it. Put his comment up there. Put
what are we talking about?
Bitch up there. The last comment. Put that bitch
on. All right. So hold on. I know thy works commented. We have a lot of tremendous, a lot of tremendous chats and
that's
comments.
That's a weird name.
Andy Hart, 0-17 take was so bad, dude should take the week off. My goodness, how can you show your face after making such a blank of yourself like that?
First of all, you don't have ears. That's apparent because I never picked 0-17. I picked 2-15. I said 0-17 was in play. And we all know that if 1-16 is still in play, then 0-17 was in play. So go pork yourself and tell me your real name if you really want to fight. You got my name. You see my name in your tweet, in your comment right there. I stand by my comments. I put my name behind it. Why don't you put your name behind yours, big boy or girl?
Oh, boy, this is getting zesty now. I love it. Yes, Christian Gonzalez did look like he hasn't missed a beat. He's doing very well. Good start for him as well. Look, just like you heard it last week. We played it for you last week. We'll share it again. Keon White said it Sunday the previous week. On this defensive lineman's podcast with the $5,000 scarf, we heard exactly what this defense is committed to doing for their coach.
Locker room, like all those guys trust you. All those guys are running to a brick wall behind you, including myself, just having the culture of you playing football, knowing how it's done, and then coming out to mentoring us each and every day to do the right thing.
There is a unanimity in the messaging right now from this team. You have been there before. You have done it. We trust you. We'll do everything you say. Yeah, honestly, they could lose the rest of the games, but if they, just like one of the commenters put up a few minutes ago, and I shared it here if you're watching live, there was, let me just pull this one up. The defense is all in to win for the coach. It feels like something special is brewing. And someone else said, if they continue to show the grit that they showed on Sunday, I'm going to watch these. I'll ride with these guys. We may start getting more buy-in from the fans, Andy, which is awesome.
And we have fans that are appreciative of an ugly, maybe at times lucky, low-scoring win. And I don't know that we've had that often enough in recent years. We talked about it. The dynasty has been cleansed. We are all now just traditional, uncertain NFL football fans, Patriots football fans that,
right,
you know, if they win 1-0, I'll take it, right? Like, I don't care. And the other team fumbles 17 times. Just stop scratching.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure it. 2-0 would break. Okay.
Yes, I know. But I'm just saying, if you, and I believe there is actually a way, a weird way in the rule book or something where you can get a point. I think that was a trivia.
A drop kick? Is it a drop kick?
I don't know. I forget. But anyway, okay. If the other team fumbles 700 times and you win by 1, 2, 3, whatever, we've reached the point where that's fun and that's good and it's unique and it doesn't have to be Brady to Moss for 17 touchdowns. By God,
no.
In
this proper reaction Tuesday after overreaction Monday, I want everyone to just recalibrate their expectations. Let them win games the way that they should, the way that the team started winning games way back in the early 2000s. No, nobody is Brady. No, nobody is Belichick. It's a very different team. And yes, it may get very exciting once Drake May does come in right now, but Jacoby Brissett is proving to be a high character, high floor, high effort guy. And that's what's going to help steer this team in the right direction for the time being. All right, so there's our appropriate reaction Tuesday following overreaction Monday. People feel good about this team. Hopefully there is more buy-in. Hopefully there is more fanfare, and there's definitely more energy. Share your thoughts with us anytime. He's at Jumbo Heart. I'm at Fitzy GFY, and this is the At Six Rings Pod.